Hi, hello, welcome to today's podcast on building high-performing cloud-native applications. This is the concluding part of the two segments of this podcast. In the earlier segment, we did see how a cache can revitalize and elevate the performance of an application. We did cover saying that the coding part of it, which is very important, can elevate a performance only to an extent. But the strategy behind accessing your data and serving your application users, you need to blend it with the hardware and having the right amount of cache and deciding what goes in and how long it stays there are very important decision-making factors. So a couple of items which we did cover in our previous podcast are CloudFront. Number two is the cache between your CloudFront and the application server. So the CloudFront offers you not only the caching ability, but also acts as a network accelerator because it is known to be much faster than the data getting transferred over the common internet. And not only that, we did see how Lambda at Edge, a very less visible feature, can make a big impact in case if you are making a A/B testing. The decision, the last minute decision of which site to render to that user, you can safely take it in Lambda without disturbing the user experience. Traditionally, these decisions were taken at the client side, which causes some amount of flickering and some amount of user impact, the user experience impact. When it is shifted to the server side, some of these disadvantages got eliminated, but new things surfaced up. Because if you are going to serve the contents through S3, then you have a difficulty in putting up a code there, because S3 will itself double up as a static web hosting server. So all those impediments have been negated by making use of Lambda at the Edge. That was the very first aspect which we covered in the last podcast. The other aspect which we covered is placing a cache between your application server and the web. So fundamentally, the question was all about why do we need to build another layer of cache when we already have the CloudFront? The answer is simple and straightforward. CloudFront will serve those contents which are already cached. In case if it is a new or a unique hit, the request will be transferred from the CloudFront back to the originating server. So having a cache there helps in making the results made available to the user much faster. So those are the two aspects which we covered in the previous podcast. In today's segment, we are going to cover some of the very critical aspects. One is the cache on the database, the cache on the application server itself. So without much delay, let's deep dive into both of the segments. So now let's consider building a cache layer on top of your application server. Sometimes it can be, in fact, within the server itself. Now the question is, we have been adding layers and layers of cache, but what all should we cache? Technically, you can cache everything. Will that help you in elevating the performance? Yes. But is it the most economical solution? Definitely no, because cache, though it is not as costly as your CPU cycles or your runtime of your EC2 instances. However, it is not as cheaper as your normal memory as well. So you need to draw a line somewhere in between saying that these are the contents I'm going to cache. Is there a ready-made answer which we can use as a cookie cutter in identifying this data needs to be cached and ported to the cache memory? Wish I could say yes, but it is purely application dependent. It varies from one application to the other. But by saying this, I'm not trying to wash off my hands saying that you go ahead and determine, but rather I will equip you with a strategy to identify such data. Fundamentally, you need to monitor the entire traffic which is flowing in and out of your application server and make a decision. Maybe a decision which might be like a trial and error, where you determine these are the users or these are the services which consumes most of my data, and then prioritize them and put those data in the cache. I'm not saying that your trial and error will be successful in the very first iteration. It all depends upon how long you have monitored the data, whether it is any specific on season for your application. So based on all your observation and your domain-based conclusion, you will be able to understand which data is being most frequently accessed. And it is a course correction. You will be making changes as and when you proceed. So what you do is you will identify the often used data, the often used the consumer which is hitting your application server, and prioritize them and provide them space in the cache. And from there on, you will make use of a matrix saying it's hit and miss ratio. So how much percentage of hits you get. If you are the major business driver, if all the requests from your major business drivers are being fed or being served from your cache, say 100%, then your strategy has become solid. If not, still it needs to be done through some amount of trial and error to understand how much data you need to port it into the cache. But before you go ahead and buy an extra layer of cache and make changes to your application program to ensure that the request is being first approaching the cache and then coming back to your main program, you need to ensure that your inbuilt RAM is being fully utilized. There is no point in leaving a portion of your RAM unutilized and then trying to add external cache being given by a third party vendor or even by your cloud providers. Within AWS, you have Redis and Memcached as two good examples for this particular application caching. But even before you do it, try to utilize what is already available within your application server for this cache. Right, and the strategy also determines and what you want to cache. And as I said, it is going to take some amount of time because it is purely an application dependent logic. You need to monitor all the traffic, you need to identify the heavy hitters or the 20% of the users who are going to consume 80% of your data, your famous Pareto rule, and then prioritize their request and have that data available in the cache and make use of your internal RAM fully, because that will save some amount of cost to you. So that's about your application caching. The final aspect of today's podcast deals with database caching. In fact, database caching, if you look purely from an architecture standpoint, it will give you a contradicting thought. So between your application and database, you want to reduce the latency. That's the whole point to it. But the way you reduce it is by introducing an additional layer between them. Common sense tells us having an additional layer is going to increase the latency, but in terms of cache, it is going to decrease it. So how it will happen? The same logic, whatever data you want to be accessed more will be put into cache, and your application will talk to the cache first. If the data is not found or if it is a miss, then the request will flow back into the database. Ideally, you want all the data to be served from the cache so that your performance is high. So now comes the question. How long the data should stay in the cache? If your data is more of transactional in nature, that means if you are going to serve from the cache, whereas the main database is updated with some recent changes, then you will be served with the older version of the data, of the stale data. So if you are going to reduce your time to live of the cache so that it is auto-replenished from the database, then there is a high chance that you will be missing the data from the cache, because it is going to be frequently replenished and you need to rely on your main database. So the time to live in the cache is going to be a very, very important factor when you are using your database cache. So what actually the design decision which people have adopted is, rather than relying on the time to live, what they do is they have a service which will update your cache as well as your database in parallel. And when you retrieve the data, you need to compare whether the results are the same. That's a very dirty design decision, but which was used in the earlier days. Now, the more efficient design decision is, whenever a data is getting updated in a database, we will trigger a Lambda which will go ahead and update it back into the cache. So now this is fully automated, and you can peacefully ensure that both data are in sync, and you need not have a compare logic to ensure, okay, this data is in sync or not, and if it is not in sync, what are the design decisions which you need to take. Such logic is totally now unwarranted. So basically what you do is, whenever an application is updating a data or a row in a table, that after that update is completed, it will trigger a Lambda, and Lambda will in turn update the same row back in the cache. So when your application is accessing the cache, you will be guaranteed to get the latest data. A very minute question here will be, won't this operation take some amount of time? What happens if my application is going to fetch the data from the cache in between the Lambda getting triggered and updating it? Technically, when you see it, though it takes some amount of time, that amount of time is in milliseconds, which is far less than even if you set a TTL of 1 to 2 seconds. So if you have to weigh the pros and cons of both the approaches of having a very low TTL and having a Lambda get updating your cache, the Lambda updating the cache comes out to be the most superior design decision, and that is something which is being now widely adopted. So the decision when you are using a Lambda or the database is the TTL. And a couple of interesting facts here. One is something called as negative caching. What I mean by negative caching is, normally when you query a database and it retrieves you a result, you go ahead and cache it. Great. But what happens if you query a database for some data which is non-existent, or the result set of that computation is empty? Ideally, as an application programmer or designer, we don't cache it. So we don't cache a negative result saying that for this set of condition there is no data, or we don't have a result yet. When we don't do it, Very often when that query is getting executed for that set of condition, again, it will go and keep hitting the database. So this is an aspect of negative caching, where the recommendation is, even if a query results in no data, better cache it so that you will not be hitting the database again and again and again. The very important aspect and something which we tend to ignore but has a impact on the performance. So that is something which we need to be aware of. And in recent databases, for example, if you are using DynamoDB, they have an inbuilt cache called as a DynamoDB accelerator, which comes with an extra cost, but it simplifies the whole concept of updating the cache, because that is something AWS does it for you. You need not worry about it. If you don't prefer to write a Lambda and keep your cache getting updated, you can make use of those services also. But such services are not available for all the databases which you find in cloud. So in such cases, relying on to Lambda to update your cache will be a better option. Or in case if you prefer to manage completely on your own, Lambda gives you more flexibility than DynamoDB Accelerator. But of late we have seen, depending upon which type of database you use, people more often resort to this inbuilt cache. The reason is, with every upgrade, all the best practices gets ingrained into it. So you need not be worrying about upgrading your code or bringing in the latest logic. Those type of design decisions can be safely avoided. So today's podcast, what we have seen is, having an application layer cache, having a database cache, and what are some of the design nuances which we need to be mindful of. Overall, we have seen 4 caching strategies. All this need not be implemented in silos. When it goes hand in hand, you can be sure that you are delivering a best performance to your end user, and the cost will be absolutely justified depending upon the type of business you are in. The decisions has to be taken in split seconds, right? Then these are the wisest choices we have for a cloud native application. But again, as I said, the pace of innovation in cloud is improving at a much faster rate. That means that probably 6 months down the line or 1 year down the line, I might be adding a part 3 to this podcast, saying that, hey, you know what, you can build some more level of cache to improve the performance. And there are other ways of also optimizing your performance. Even if you take your compute instance, EC2, EBS optimized EC2 has a different level of performance because it forms a separate channel, avoiding all the other network traffic entering in. So there are ways, but we need to strategize, we need to approach them one by one. So see you soon in the next podcast with a very interesting topic. As usual, please share your feedback. I am approachable at queryshami@gmail.com. You can leave me a note there, or you can, if you have some questions on this, do let me know. And I'm very thankful to AWS reInvent sessions, wherein I got a lot of metrics and information about this caching strategy. I will share a link with you if you are interested to know more. Please keep your feedback flowing. That helps us to refine and course correct our contents. Thank you.